Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I had to just introduce myself to you as a man to a man. God made man. You see? And equal privileges were given to each man, you see? There is no difference between a man and another man. The difference lies only in the fact that a certain man had dwelt in a certain way and he has become an adept in that way. The people who would like to learn that way, he will be competent to just guide them in that particular line in which he has just qualified himself, you see. I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master in India, Baba Saman Singh Maharaj, at whose feet I had the good fortune to learn the mystery of life, what it is and how to solve it. God made man and man made social religions. Social religions were made for the uplift of man. Man was not made for social religions, mind that. It is the social religions that were made for man. We had to make the best use of them. Just as Christ said, man is not born for Sabbath day. Sabbath was made for man, you see. So we have to make the best use of the social religions we are professing. Man is social and is therefore has to follow in sub-social body. The purpose of all social religions is to uplift man so as he may know himself and know God. That's the chief aim of all religions. To know God is the goal of all religions. He is the God of all, whether they are theists or atheists, you see. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming to the world and speaking about God. God cannot be described in words, cannot be, I would say, scaled within this small, what you say, the scale of our intellect, finite intellect, you see. But however, whenever these masters who came in the past, they solved the mystery of life, they knew who were they? They had the first experience with their self by self-analysis and came in contact with God. They, whatever experiences they had of the God, naturally they gave out in their holy sayings. And those holy sayings or utterings they made, they form the subject matter of our scriptures. Ever since the world began, the masters have been coming, speaking about God and telling about the various experiences they had while coming in contact with God. So, whenever the masters went away, another mass who came up just to revive that old science of knowing oneself and knowing God. Old Greeks had that very ideal before them, and they put forth the motto, "Know thyself." That is the first thing to be realized. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. Self-knowledge precedes God knowledge. Who we are, what we are. All masters had to say the same thing whenever they came. So all whatever they said, they found the subject matter of so many scriptures now at our hand. Had we come, say, 100 years back, the masters who came in India within that period, we would not have, before that period, we would not have the scriptures they have left for us. Let us go back still further, and if he had come, say 500 years back, we would not have the holy scriptures of the sects. Still further if we go back, had we come before 1500 years back, we would not have the Quran or the Prophet Muhammad. Had we come even before 2000 years back, we would not have had this Bible with us. Still further, if we had come before 5 or 6 thousand years, before the valuable records of the Prophet Zoroaster and Lord Buddha would not have been with us. So these scriptures taken together are the so many pages of the Book of God that have been written, and there may be many more to be written. Whenever the masters will be coming, you see, they will be explaining all this in their own words, you see. But still, whatever they say, that subject remains still unsaid. Guru Nanak says that some people have come, some prophets, seers, sages, rishis of the old, some just spoke of His almightiness. He is almighty. Some said, well, He remains from in the heavens like that. Others explained that He is immanent in every form. Further, other people said that, well, God resides in every heart. Well, this is one of the very few qualifications of God. God still remains unsaid, you see. Guru Nanak says, if all the masters, seers, sages and rishis who have come in the past, the same number may come more even now, and speak of God, you see, continuously, without a break, even then the subject of God will remain unsaid. Because that cannot be brought in words, you see. Suppose, for instance, if you eat a mango, very sweet, you have tasted it, you want to just express it, how will you express it? Tell me. There are no words. You try to give examples, it is sweet like that, it is sweet like that. Maulana Rumi, a Mohammedan saint, says, when I come in contact with God, I feel sweetness, ineffable, indescribable, just as the honey is just put on the skin. Well, how will you understand, you see? Another saint, a Mohammedan, he says, well, Farid, by name, well, when I take the name of God, I feel sweetness, like, he says, sugar. He said, like the sweet milk of a buffalo, you see. Then he said, no, still for it is just like honey. He said, no, still more, something like that. He gives some examples to show, but still that's how sweet God is, you cannot express. I may give you another example. Suppose you love somebody, he's your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. He is very beautiful, very sweet, very attractive, with all that. Are there any words to express that sweetness that you feel? Well, it is not given to words to express the feelings of the heart or the experiences that you have within yourself by coming in contact with God, you see. Those masters who came in the past, they gave some description just to explain, bring home some idea of the great reality supporting, maintaining all creation. And with all that what they have said, still the subject remains unsaid. The masters who came in the past, they said, well, you remember what Walter Whitman said? He said, when I attempt to just say something, speak of something of the reality, he says, I speak, but I cannot. I become a dumb man, you see. How to express? So anyhow, all masters, sages, rishis who came in the past, they are one, that there is some great reality, one truth, which is the cause and supporting of all creation. That creation, creator, is more beautiful than all creation, you see. To see God, to come in contact with God, is the highest ideal or the aim of a man's life. So all the scriptures that are at our command, they are the fine records of the first-hand experiences they had with themselves first and then with God. What factors were found as helping factors on the way and what simply retarded their way. So all these things are summed up in the holy sayings of all the masters who came in the past. Though they related those in the language then prevalent when they came, you see. Language is different of all the scriptures. The way they express, they are also peculiar to themselves, but the subject matter that you speak of is the same. So we have respect, the lovers of God have respect for all seers, of all sages, of all masters who came in the past, because they spake as inspired by God. They became the mouthpiece of God. For that reason, because we love God, and they had first an experience of God, and God spake through them, that is why we have respect for all masters who came in the past. We have also respect for all the scriptures we have got at our command, at our hands today. We are most fortunate in the 20th century that we have scriptures, all the first-hand experiences of all those masters who came in the past, they had with themselves and with God. Now by their comparative study, we find that they are all one in just worshipping God. They say there is one God which is our aim in life. Their archers may be many, but the target is the same. We may belong to one social religion or the other, but we are all worshippers of God. Well, what the commandments say? Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is what all others, masters, said in their own language, in their own scriptures, now with us. And further they say, God resides in every heart, because we love God, and God resides in every heart, we love all humanity, irrespective of the fact whether they belong to one country or the other, one social religion or the other social religion. So when we are worshippers of the same God, we are brothers in faith. Fatherhood of God, by believing fatherhood of God, naturally we believe in the brotherhood of man. So all masters who are to come, they said the same thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Prophet Muhammad said, we are the members of the same family of God. Guru Nanak said, well, he is the only father we have. We are to worship him. So they are all one. These two commandments, you see, if we just live up to these two commandments, there will be peace on earth. When you love a man from the bottom of your heart, can you kill him? Can you steal him, you see, rob him of his wealth? Can you do any harm to him? Not the least. On these two commandments hang on all other commandments. On these two commandments, I have said, hang on all teachings of all masters who came in the past. They are all one. If we but live up to these two commandments, we will bring the kingdom of God on earth. There will be no fear of the atomic age. We are each country dreading now. If it so happens, this war goes, well, there will be destruction of all humanity. There was a grand meeting, conference in Europe some years back, of all scientists, you see. The president stood up and said, we have got control over the forces of nature. Before knowing our own selves and knowing God. That is why all these inventions are being used for the destruction of man. Had we known our own selves and known God, before we found out the laws of nature and made other inventions, all these would have gone for the uplift of man. So this is the social form of the religion that man has to adopt, I say, for a safe journey back home. You see? To live in some social religion is a blessing. It is a blessing. Because otherwise, if you are going to revolt, there will be corruption in the world, you see. Social religions are a help, are the preparatory grounds for knowing yourself and knowing God, that the ultimate goal is social religion has got before that, you see. Now the question remains, God made man and his social religion is comprised of men, and God gave equal privileges to all men alike. It is not that one man has got some more concession as compared with the other. All have got two eyes, 2 years out of formation of the man body is the same, and the inner construction of the man body is the same. And the disease they are suffering, I would say, their souls are under the control of mind. Mind is swayed by the organs of sense, our outgoing faculties. We are identified with the bodies and the outward environment so much so that we cannot differentiate who we are, what we are. To reach God, to know God, to see God, well, the first step we have to take is to know our own self. For the reason that it is the soul that has to realize or see God or know God. Neither the intellect, nor the mind, nor the organs of sense, you see. Unless you know yourself, you cannot know God. That's why. For that, the Upanishads say that our body should be stilled, our mind should be stilled, our intellect should also be stilled. Only you will have some knowledge of your own self. When you know a drop of water, you will be in a position to know what can an ocean be to some extent, you see. God is all consciousness, a limitless ocean of all consciousness, I would say. And our souls being of the same essence as that of God, it is also conscious. We are all conscious entities, you see. And our conscious being is just enveloped, I would say, in the vesture of the body, physical body, so much so, we have become identified with it that we cannot now differentiate who we are, what we are. If you ask some child, you see, of 3 or 4 years, 3 years, where you are, who you are, see, what will he do? He simply opens his mouth and opens his eyes. He has some consciousness still that he knows he is somewhere here, you see. But as we grow in years, we become so much identified with the body that we cannot differentiate ourselves. We say, who you are? We say, well, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Mr. Campbell, you see. I am Mr. Ram or Singh. So to know oneself is the one thing before us. How to know ourselves? Before that, coming to that subject, we will just consider calmly, then what are the higher values of life? We must know first man, the outer man and the inner man. About the outer man I have told you just now, that religions, man being social, he has to live in some social religion, so that his earthly life will pass in peace, so that he may become a good world citizen. His self should expand to embrace all men alike, you see. You should love God, love all humanity. There will be peace on earth. This earthly sojourn will pass in all smoothness, you see, and peace. The other side is, well, we look to the outer man, this man body, 5 or 6 feet high, what it is, who we are, what we are. You see with your eyes that such like bodies, time does come when something leaves it, which is now working through it. And the time of death, or I would say the day of the great final change, that is no bhagya, that is merely a change, you see. Just as I have come from India, you see, I am no more in India, but still I am alive. Similarly, when we leave this body, the indweller of the house is gone, he has to go somewhere, body is left inert, and that is according to the customs of the various social religions, they are put underground, consumed in the flames of fire, or just drowned in waters, you see. So that which leaves this body at the time of death and is now working in the body we are now carrying, we have to know that self, you see, that we are real. You see, unless this mystery applies, what it is that leaves the body, it is now dwelling in the body, unless you know that, that is our true self, you see. When we know that self, we'll be able to know the over self, which you call God, you see. You remember the life, in the life of Buddha, the enlightened. He was just to visit some town in his territory. He was a prince, you see. When arrangements were made on a grand scale to receive him, and they decorated the city all over. And when he was there, you see, he was moving on a chariot. The charioteer was driving, you see. On the way, they saw one old man with a haggard face and sunken eyes, very weak, with a staff in hand. He could not walk properly and staggered even by this. Even he had his boat up, the staff in his hand. He simply saw that such a man that day. He asked the question, what it is. He was told that this man body that we are carrying becomes old and feeble, you see, thin. He was stuck. Further he went, he saw a man was just gasping for breath, passing to the agony of death. He asked what it is. He was told, well, he died. Naturally, this further to further possession of his mind, what is that? What is leaving? The charioteer, considering that the prince was brought to the town just for recreation and amusement, he is growing sad and pensive. He took him round outside of the city, you see. Then he went out of the city, unfortunately, I would say. He saw 4 men just carrying the clothes of a dead body. He went away and asked what it is. He was told that, well, this is a dead body and the indweller is gone, you see. Further stuck in it, what it is. So beautiful body I am carrying, and that it meets with this fate. And each one has to meet with this faith. There is no exception to the rule. In the world, you see, when an eviction order is issued, well, that is carried out at any cost. But it may be that order may be delayed, execution thereof may be delayed. or might be postponed in some intense just exercise. But when this eviction order from God or head is issued, there's no exception to do. I all have to go.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was a talk Master gave on August 8, 1955 in Santa Barbara, California. Our reader tonight is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good evening, everybody. I have been reading from The Light of Kripal, and last I had to stop midway through chapter 32, titled True Meditation and the Virtues to be Developed. Master is answering a question. Your diaries are there to just bring the failures to your notice. Why don't you live up to those virtues? If you live up to one virtue, suppose you are truthful, continue for 6 months, then you won't dare tell a lie. Then habit will turn into nature. Be chaste in word, thought, and deed. After 6 months, you'll find you can have no unchaste thoughts. Diary is meant for that. This is one side. And the other way is to come in contact with the God into expression power, light and sound. You'll become the abode of all virtues. Both things are given in your diary. Be strictly accurate in keeping your diary. I issued one circular on diary. You must remember, these circulars are for your guidance and to be lived up to. That's all. The pity is we know so much. We can give lectures, talks, very tall talks, I would say. But these are affected only by our radiation, not by mere words. So it is always said, it is better to reform your own self. Swami Ram Tirath was a great saint who said in the papers, wanted what? Reformers. What sort of reformers? Not of others, but of themselves. What will they get? Godhead. This is what is wanted. All of you can become ambassadors only if you live up to what you are told. Then your words will carry weight. We say something, but live some other way. We appear very virtuous, but underneath, we try to cut the roots of everybody. You can deceive men, but you cannot deceive God, who is within you. Be truthful to Him, then everything will come. Have one virtue, the other virtues will follow. So, diary is meant for two things. One, weeding out all imperfections. Two, coming in contact with that power. The more you come in contact with that power, the more you sit by fire, all the cold will go away, all chilling. So there will be no chilling. I'm giving you inferences to draw. But a very delicious dish is served to you. See now that you eat it. Another thing, even if you eat it, but you don't digest it, don't fill your brains with so many things. Eat one thing, digest it, other things will follow naturally. So, to meet God is not difficult, but to make a man is difficult. God is after finding man. Any man who is there, a God in man body. We are beasts in men, not men in men. You see, all religions were meant to turn out men, perfect men, ideal men. All schools of thoughts were meant to turn out perfect men. Schools are there. Their dresses are all right. Their buildings are all right. But how many men are turned out of them? And the ideal man is one who has the ringing radiance in and out. That is the bread of life. So this is the ideal before you. You are here for some time to make the best use of that. even when you go away, keep these things, live up to them. Only try for 3 months, 6 months, you'll find change, a radical, drastic change. Kabir says, my mind is so pure, God is after me calling Kabir, 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 wait. So God is running after each one of us to find a man somewhere. Master, the God manifest in Master, is also trying to make men. The pity is we don't live up to them. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you live that way, even for a month, you will progress wonderfully. If you live with the Master for 100 years but do not care for what he says, it is like a stone in the water. You might be cold while in the water, but when the water is away, then when the cobra is in the snow, he's very cold. When it gets little warm, he's hissing. So we have to learn while in the world. Swimming is learned in water and not on dry lands. And man body is the golden opportunity we have got for that purpose. You may remain where you are. Outer performance rituals make no difference. That is only a symbol on your body. You are not even body. Then, first of all, you are light. You are the children of light. Jyot Naranjan. We repeat these words daily, but don't even have the right import of what they say. God is all light, is it not? All consciousness. God is spirit, and we are spirit, and spirit is God, and God is within us, naturally. So what is the difference? So facts remain like that. We are children of light, the children of God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Whether we are wearing one form or the other, that makes no difference. Question, it's just an amazing thing. Master, amazing? God is amazing. You are God. God is within you, but you are not with God. That's all. Just like fish is always in water, fish lives in the water. Water is the very life of the fish. If it is taken out for a little while, she will die. We are in him. He is within us. We are having our being in him. That we will come to realize by rising above body consciousness, not before. There's a great light that enlivens our body. We are a small, tiny light. Now, you know how great you are? You are a micro-god. The outgoing faculties are only to serve you. But you simply become a servant to the outgoing faculties. It is through you only that outgoing faculties work. If your attention is not with the outgoing faculties, you won't hear, you won't see, even with open eyes. Your attention is absorbed in something higher. This digest has been given in few words, in a very simple way. You have simply to live up to it. If the shell of the almond is taken away, then you have got the real protein there. This is the real protein that I am offering you. You know already it is no new thing. I am only reminding you of the facts which are already there, and we never cared for them, never lived up to them. All right, any other questions? It's 9:30. Make the best use of your time, please. And now I move on to the next chapter. The Master's Message of Love, December 21, 1970, recorded in Dehradun on the occasion of an American disciple's departure for home. Convey my love to each one of them. My only message is that we are all laborers in the same field. The harvest is rich. Laborers are wanted. There is no otherness, but the negative power intervenes and tries to spoil the whole show. If we all work as laborers in the field, with equal rights, you see, to be guided by some laborer who is a little bit ahead of you, if I may say so. My only message is to love him. If one man can do so, let others do so. Both should put shoulders on the wheel. My shoulder is better than the other shoulder is wrong. Moreover, if any good goes out of us, we should not be aware of it, because it is his grace that is working. We are mere pipes. Some 40 years ago, our master went to Lahore where I was conducting satsang. There was a big gathering there, sometimes 5 to 10,000 people. Once he gave initiation to so many, then he told me, look here, I have planted the saplings. You give water, water them. I told him, Master, whatever water you will send, that will be given. You see, we are mere pipes. So pipes remain cold as long as the water is running through them. If no water, then, so this is the true position. If any good goes out of us, that is his grace. We should never dream that we are doing. If we are doing, then the whole thing is retarded. And if whatever water in a small pond is drained out, then what will remain? All mud. This is one lesson we have to learn. You see, if that is learned, then there is peace. I am digging. You also dig. We all go on digging. Then the work will be finished in no time. So there should be no otherness, I tell you. And this is the last shortcoming that even the so-called saints have got. Sometimes group leaders think they are bosses. They should realize they are the means. That is why I told you all are spiritually connected with me. They are there to conduct, to arrange, to help you, to bring together. For other facilities, sometimes they can help you, help by words of solace. And that's all. So, love God, that's all. Have respect for others, and those who are co-workers, put shoulder on the wheel together, both together. If you drag a wagon, and you have 10 men to drag it, dragging it becomes easier, does it not? So, this is the only message that I have to give you. But I have pity, because all are not saints. They have to be persuaded. My way is persuasion, to bring them to know what is what and to stand on their own legs. I see all of you can become ambassadors, very humble, simply live up to it. Live up to them, that's all. God made men with all equal privileges, no high or low, simply. One has gained his Godhead, that's all. I am using the word regained. You have forgotten, that's all. So convey my love to each one of them. These very words, you can repeat them. I have got appreciation for all, those who are group leaders and representatives and others who are there. They are all on the way. So help each other. You have to help the master's work, not any individual man. It is God's work. Master's work is God's work, not his personal work. The best way is to serve, is to meditate, to do meditation. Progress in the inner way, then everything will come up. My wishes are with each one of them. They are the shareholders of the Father's belongings. So you are all dear to me. Father has love for all, and he has the keys to the room. So it is quite worth living up to the Master. So it is not a matter of show to others. It is to be sincere to one's own self. God is within you. Master is within you. If you are true to him, then, so that is why I always say, be true to your own self. The God is in you is more near than the God in the Master, I tell you. He is one. So many vibrations, that's all. The very God is within you too. The same vibration is going on there. We simply have to invert, withdraw from outside. Master gives everyone his loving glance. There is the love of the parents. You see, the love of Master is hundreds and thousands of parents together. So love cannot be expressed in words. Rest assured, you are dear to me. That's all I can say. You see, now your part is just live up to what I say. In brackets, tears well up in the eyes of the Master and of many of the dear ones present. The Master gives the departing disciples a present for his wife and addresses the next few words. Now I wish you to be one in two and two in one from the day this day onwards. So convey my love to her. I wish you both to be in two and two in one. In very few words, God has united you, and it is your first duty to help each other to know God. Both should put their shoulders on the wheel to reach God. That's companionship, true companionship. And God has given you a companion. It is not man who has given you. Does she send her report, her self-introspection diary? Yes, convey my love to her, and accept the same for yourself. Sometimes tears roll down from the eyes. That is the loving tears for you all. You don't know how much love I have for you. Perhaps if you knew, you would be dancing all around. So convey my love to each one of them. They are near to me, not away. I wish all of you to be progressing on the way. We should be all honest, truthful, chaste, so that if any man comes, oh, he's going to such and such a saint, he can't tell a lie. We should prove worthy of our connection with the satsang. This is outer, the inner you have got, fortunately. So what I have mentioned, don't forget. That's all. If anything good is going out of us, it is the grace of Master. All our differences should be sunk down, you see, in the waves of love, surging. Any questions? You understand what I have said already? You follow? I am not a speaker or lecturer. That's the pity. Otherwise, I would be bombarding you with words, heart-to-heart talks. God bless you. The next chapter, Be in Charge of Your Machinery, December 22, 1970. It's cold outside, isn't it? Do you feel a little? All right, yes, going strong, each one of you, going on all right with your meditations, thank God. When a man is within, he does not feel cold. It's only when he's thinking of the body and outside that he feels cold. Keep your consciousness engaged. In that way, you will be air-conditioned, you see. Then you won't feel cold. Once it happened, I am talking now about 50 years back, that I was detailed by my master to give talks. It was a hot season. There was a big room, of course, but it was very hot. The ceiling fan and the other fan broke. Each man was perspiring. I said, look here, engage your attention here. Master points between the two eyebrows. You won't feel the heat. They listened to the talks for an hour and never felt heat. It is we who feel because we are identified with the body outside. When you get an injection from a doctor, you just concentrate. All right, now do it. Then you feel very little pain. The more you are concentrated, the less you will feel. So it is a question of controlling your attention. You are attention. You give strength to the body. The whole machinery works on account of you. It is you who is working at the back. If you come to your own self, then the whole machinery is at a standstill. This is what you have to learn. It is all a play of your conscious self. We have not known ourselves who we are. we are known as a matter of inference or as a matter of feeling, but not as a matter of self-analysis. A factory, any factory, is run by powerhouse. There are switches connected with each department of the factory. Whichever switch you turn off, that department ceases to work. And if you turn off the main switch, the whole machinery stands still. It is on account of that, on account of you, that you are hearing, you are seeing. It is because you do not know how to cut off from the outside. That's all. You may have had this happen in your experience too. Sometimes you're sitting very absorbed. Somebody calls you, your ears are open, but you don't hear. He calls you once, twice, thrice. He comes up to you and says, "Well, you have not heard me. I've called you so many times." "No, I have not heard." Why? My attention was engaged somewhere else. So, similarly, it is your attention that gives life to all your outward things. You are the giver of all attention to these things, and you are dragged by all these things. How shameful it is. I would say the whole thing is topsy-turvy. It is you who give the strength to your mind, to your outgoing faculties. And what has happened now? Outer things attract you, attract your attention. Outer things attract your outgoing faculties, and faculties control your mind. Mind controls intellect. And poor fellow, soul is being dragged about. Is it not so? Just come to your own self. That's all I can say. You know who you are. Now you understand. Forget all outward forms. Everything like that. Master does not give you anything new, only the opportunity to come to your own self. That's all. You may learn it in a day, 10 days, 10 years, 10 births. Why not learn now? Man body is the golden opportunity you have got. In this body only you can do it. This is really your own work, personal work. All other works are the question of give and take. Finish off, wind up the whole thing. Do you feel cold now? Master tells us about his appointment today at Manav Kendra, the man center being built under his daily supervision. Everybody runs there, you see, because man is in search. He's doing something and appeased. You see, by taking food, digesting it, your hunger will go. Everybody is doing something in his own way. With all that, he is not satisfied. So when death comes, it is no bugbear it comes. Man will shudder. Oh, if he has been only talking about these things and not lived up to them, that's all. This is a way which we can give to you of practical self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. If you want that, daily rise and go, and you'll feel pleasure. When there is heat outside and you go into a cold place, well, naturally you feel very different, you see. So try to put in more time in your spiritual practices and make the best use of the time you are here. That's all I can say. There also that God power is with you, guiding you when you go back. If you withdraw, you can say that. We are one there. The next chapter, Be the Master of Yourself, December 23, 1970. Speaking to someone sitting in the doorway, are you guiding the door so no one would run away? Chuckles. Master, when I stand on my head, do a headstand, the sound current gets really loud. How come? Master, what do you mean by that? Question. You know, when you get down and your feet go up and your head is down, Master, sound is there. That makes no difference. Question. It seems to get really loud when I do. Master, when you put your whole attention naturally, there you'll go. Similarly, if your whole attention is there, you'll have it while sitting. When you stoop down, your whole attention goes to your head, and that's all. And the result will be when you are withdrawn, you will fall down. Everyone laughs. Sit at right angles. Even if you withdraw, you won't fall. Whichever way you are leaning, you will fall down in that way. This body, what is it? It is like earth, stone. When you are withdrawn, what is it? It is a clod of earth. That's after all. Question. And also sometimes when you get out of bed quickly in the morning, the blood rushes to your head. You feel dizzy. Master, what are you talking about? Blood is always going through the veins even while sleeping, hard at work. That dizziness may mean there is something wrong physically. Question. A lot of people have that. It happens to a lot of people. Master, you are a spokesman for all of them? Chuckles. Do you have something like that? Tell me, what about you? Question. Well, it hasn't happened lately, but sometimes when I would get up from sitting and get up quickly, I would feel. Master, if the soul is withdrawn, you cannot stand. You are there. And unless you descend into the body, you cannot control yourself. The seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes from where it works. Throughout the whole body, have you followed? When you leave meditation, don't stand up all at once, slowly. Then the soul current, sensory current, works through the body. You follow? When you are withdrawn, you see it is inert, body is inert. If all at once you rise, then sometimes soul is not in this physical body. You sometimes cannot think what you are doing. Even if it happens so, then again sit down in meditation. Come down slowly, not all at once. You are not in the physical body as yet. You feel something. Sometimes you cannot think. If anything happens to you like that, then sit down in meditation and think of God. That's the only remedy. These things are not given in books, I tell you. They are practical difficulties. So when you are in meditation, if anybody wants you, he should let you come down slowly, slowly. Don't leave all at once, because after all, the spirit current has to work through the body. The prana current goes on. It is not disturbed. It becomes slow, steady, rhythmic. It is the spirit current, sensory current, which is withdrawn. That's a point to be remembered. So, if this happens, never rise all at once. Mind that. When you rise up slowly. Feel your arms. Question. Master, in this case, it wasn't that. I wasn't even meditating. It's just that sometimes when I am in a bathtub, my body gets very hot, and when I stand up, the blood rushes from my head sometimes. And I was just saying that when that happens, now I hear the sound current. This happens occasionally. Master, well, rise up slowly. Why all at once? The house has not gone on fire. When you are all heated and you leave off covering, then naturally you'll feel uneasy. Question. All it is when that happens, I hear the sound current very loud. Master, my Lord, again that comes. Sound is already there. When you are concentrated, whether lying or sitting or stooping or reclining, your attention should be there. That makes no difference. You may sit headlong down even when you will hear. This is because you are always thinking of yourself as a body. Don't think of the body at all, and you won't have any such like feelings. You follow me? These are some practical difficulties which do arise. That is why guidance is required. Unless you become adept in that, in most books you won't see a reply to this, but in a way the reply is there. The only thing is we don't digest it. First, understand then digest. I will stop here for today. My time is up. And I was reading from The Light of Kripal. I started midway through chapter 32, True Meditation and the Virtues to be Developed. And I continued on to chapter 33, 34, and then I stopped midway in 35. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words tonight. There were 57 participants at our satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
So Masters come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep.